The reading is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 to 29, the Good News Translation. Now, to what can I compare the people of this day? They are like children sitting in the marketplace. One group shouts to the other, "We played wedding music for you, but you wouldn't dance. We sang funeral songs, but you wouldn't cry." When John came, he fasted and drank no wine, and everyone said, "He has a demon in him." When the Son of Man came, he ate and drank, and everyone said, "Look at this man, he is a glutton and wine drinker, a friend of tax collectors and other outcasts." God's wisdom, however, is shown to be true by its results. The unbelieving towns. The people in the towns where Jesus had performed most of his miracles did not turn from their sins, so he reproached those towns. "How terrible it will be for you, Chorazin. How terrible for you too, Bethsaida. If the miracles were performed If the miracles which were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, the people there would have long ago put on sackcloth and sprinkled ashes on themselves to show that they had turned from their sins. I assure you that on the judgment day, God will show more mercy to the people of Tyre and Sidon than to you. And as for you, Capernaum, did you want to lift yourself up to heaven? You'll be thrown down to hell. If the miracles which were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would still be in existence today. You can be sure that on the judgment day, Sodom than to you. Come to me and rest." At that time, Jesus said, "Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I thank you because you have shown to the unlearned what you have hidden from the wise and learned. Yes, Father, this was how you were pleased to have it happen. My Father has given me all things. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and put it on you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest. For the yoke I will give you is easy, and the load I will put on you is light." My God, may God bless that reading. Thank you.
Lord, may the words of my mouth, meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Given the conclusion last Sunday of the series on Grace Awakening people that Jesus encountered along the way, over the next few weeks, I'll look at one of the readings from the lectionary, this set Bible readings that are used over a three-year cycle. And we're probably relieved after hearing that passage that the last few verses was Jesus saying, "Come to me and rest." But the other bits remind us that Jesus said some really tough things at times to people. You know, and it was pretty serious stuff that he was saying there. And this passage concludes with these verses that I want to focus on this morning. Jesus saying, "Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In our world today, there is an overabundance of ways to find diversion, to be distracted in life. But the question remains there, where do we truly find rest? Rest for our human spirit. It's way back in the 4th century that Saint Augustine talked of us being restless until we find our rest in God. There's this deep, deep hunger in the human soul for resolution of our doubts, our conflicts, for a relief from the weight of questions that just remain unanswered at times, and for a lifting from our shoulders of the burden of promises and longings that are unfulfilled. For some, it's a desire to find rest from the burdens that life itself brings, a rest from the weight of trying to live in a good way, an ethical way, holding to certain values in a world where, at its core, people live values so different to what we hold to. So where do we find rest? Rest for a restless soul. Many people of varying ages and circumstances are asking, even after having achieved some goal, is this all there is? Is this as good as it gets? There has to be something more, surely. This week I read a post on Facebook by Stephanie Rice. Now, many of you would know of Stephanie Rice from her swimming days. Achieved amazing things. Indeed, some of you might even know her, as I think she's a Brisbane girl, I think. You may have come across her, I'm not sure. But she posted this on her Facebook page, and when I read this, I was just so moved by it, really. Stephanie Rice became a Christian some years ago, not that long ago, but some years ago. And this is what she posted earlier this week with, and she had two photos of herself, one from about 5 years ago and one from just the other day. And just bear with me, I want to read all of what she wrote. There really is nothing that compares to the glow up that comes from a relationship with Jesus, she writes. My gosh, when I look at that before picture, I'm taken back to that time 3 or 4 years ago when I was desperately searching to find peace, stability, and the purpose of my life. There was just this overwhelming sense I needed to work harder to find it, to read more books, attend more conferences, meditate more, visualize more, like everything depended on me. I'd have these short-term wins, but then something outside my control would always come in the way and derail the progress I'd made. It felt like I'd been putting in so much oddity, but I couldn't really see the progress. It was so frustrating, and I was completely exhausted. I remember feeling pretty hopeless. I'd tried all these methods, routines, and different practices for achieving success and finding your purpose, and still feeling so behind and under so much spiritual weight, it felt like no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't get ahead. I think I got so run down spiritually and emotionally that I finally was open to trying something completely new and honestly quite foreign. I went to church with my sister, who was a Christian, and decided to open my heart to Jesus. If I'm honest, I had no idea if this was the answer or if it would help. I just knew for sure what I was doing wasn't working, and I was willing to try anything to feel hopeful again. It's been three years now since that decision to follow Jesus, and my gosh, has life changed, and all for the better. There are so many stories I can and will share in time about the past 3 years and how transformational and healing they have been. I've finally found that inner peace, stability, hope, encouragement, purpose, and contentment that I was always looking for, just in all the wrong places. I pray that more people would be open to Jesus, because I just know he would heal your heart in ways you don't even know are possible. And it would free you to dream and hope again, believing that anything is possible, because with him, it really is. From Stephanie Rice. Now I could simply end the sermon right there and confidently know that the reality of these verses in Matthew 11 had been explained and that the gospel had been preached. I could happily just stop right there having read that. But there's a few other things that I want to say. But you know, I got so much encouragement from reading that. That's just fantastic. Because those of us who follow Australian sport, and particularly swimming, we know what she has achieved, and a few other things that weren't quite so great for her. But she is now in a place with this relationship with Jesus where she is contented and at peace. We're offered so many options these days as a path to peace and contentment and rest. So many options, perhaps more than ever before in human history. And rather than giving us peace, comfort, rest, we so often become utterly lost in our search for it. There are some restless souls that spend their whole life going from one distraction to another without ultimately finding rest. So many of these options say we have the answers within ourselves, that we can pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, by our own shoelaces. And Stephanie Rice makes reference to that. The Apostle Paul knew all too well, however, that our very humanness, our human condition, leaves us unable to crawl out of the hole that we dig for ourselves. Paul writes this in Romans 7, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me that does it. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that's subject to these things, including death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." See, Paul points us to Jesus, and it's this same Jesus that we heard in Matthew 11 say, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus offers us rest, rest for our souls, rest at the core of our being. He offers us a place where we can lay down our burdens and satisfy the deepest longings of our human spirit. To those who come to him, Jesus offers the good news of God's ruling presence in all and through all, yet above all. As we've heard over the last 8 weeks, a kingdom of overflowing grace where we're called to turn from an old way to a new way of life, where sinners are recovered, rebels forgiven, lepers embraced, and where the lost find themselves truly at home. And also, I think, greatly encouraged by a lot of athletes and sports people who are publicly confessing faith, including just this last week again with the captain of the German soccer team, German football team, Felix Mietscher, who, after Germany was eliminated from the World Cup, said, "Even in disappointment, I choose gratitude. God is good in every season, and all glory belongs to him." That's what we need to hear, folks, along the way. That even, you know, for those who are driven so much, and, you know, the World Cup in football is that. But even here, here's Felix able to say, you know, it's really disappointing, but God is good. Secondly, Jesus talks of a yoke, and just a few thoughts about this before I finish. Jesus does speak of a yoke. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me," he says. The yoke's not a common sight these days in country Australia. We might see some on bullock teams that make an appearance every now and then at the Ekka, or if we go up to the Jundarian woolshed, you know, we might see some yokes on bullocks there, or some other special occasion. This is what life was like in the old days, that sort of thing. And there's something of a contradiction, isn't there, in this image of which Jesus uses, where he talks about finding peace, but then he goes on and says, here, take my yoke upon you. Bit of a contradiction. Surely that's a burden. Surely that's not a freedom. That's a burden or a bondage, isn't it? The previous chapter, chapter 10, Jesus speaks of another paradox. He says, whoever loses his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Losing to find. It's a similar thing here, where there. It's a similar paradox where, as Jesus said, you lose your life for my sake, you find it. To take my yoke is freedom. There's no absolute freedom in this world where many temptations come dressed up in all kinds of ways and which speak with a voice that questions who we yoke to. And in trying to serve many masters, we become pulled in a dozen different directions all at one time. And again, that rest that we seek for is impossible. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. And this is the translation from the Greek word can really help us here. The Greek word that's translated easy is actually a word that means well-fitting. It's appropriate. It's suitable. It's a well-fitting thing. And William Barclay tells of how in the days of Jesus, ox yokes made of wood, and the ox was brought in and it was measured up for the yoke. And the yoke was then roughed out, and then the ox was brought back in to see how well it fitted. And if it wasn't quite fitting well, it would be worked on a little bit more. And it was carefully adjusted so that it would fit well and that it wouldn't irritate the neck or the shoulders of the ox. The yoke was tailor-made for this particular animal. That's the image that Jesus is using when he says, my yoke is easy. My yoke fits well. The life I give to you is not a burden to irritate you or annoy you. The life I give you, the task I give you, is made to measure for you. What Jesus has for us is not to carry burdens that ultimately crush us. To be yoked in Jesus' team, as it were, is to be engaged in doing the things for which we were created, is to become fulfilled. When we willingly wear the yoke of Jesus, we are given the freedom to be ourselves at our deepest and truest level. The yoke of Jesus will place on us more freedom than anything else. Ultimately, these verses are yet another call to discipleship. In chapter 10, Jesus talks of the costliness of following him, losing your life to find it. Here in chapter 11, he says, learn from me. And we can know that he is gentle and humble in heart. You know, in years gone by, a young bullock or a horse learned how to pull a dray or carriage or wagon, whatever it was, by being yoked to an older, mature animal who knew what it was to do that. That's how it learnt what it needed to do. It would learn from who it was yoked with, and in so doing, learnt what it needed to accomplish the task. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So come, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and Jesus will give you rest. May the peace of God go with you and before you. Amen.